On July the 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was signed. According to one source that I've read, 4 days later, on July the 8th, 1776, the bell that we call the Liberty Bell was rung for the first time. And on that Liberty Bell was inscribed the message, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants," or unto all the inhabitants thereof. That message was taken from Leviticus 25, verse 10, which indicates to us that God had been concerned about liberty and freedom long before the founders of our country were concerned about it. The Bible talked about liberty and freedom years before our country was ever established and started. We're emphasizing the thoughts of freedom today, liberty. I think it is fitting that we do that. Tonight we want to talk about understanding freedom. Many times our appreciation of something is not what it ought to be because our understanding of that concept may be less than what it ought to be. There are three things that I want to emphasize tonight. Number one, freedom provides. Number two, freedom cost. And number three, freedom demands. I think we've done a better job of emphasizing the first of those than we have the other two. Think for just a moment about the fact that freedom provides. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Certainly we have many blessings to count. If we were to be honest with ourselves tonight and tomorrow and just began to make a list of all those blessings that we enjoy in this country, we'd have a long list. Although there are some problems, granted, we would still have a long list of our blessings. Freedoms that we enjoy, to where we're able to come together like this and worship, freedom of speech, freedom of the press. So far as I know, we're able to worship God and to do what God tells us to do in this country. I don't know of any restriction that I have that hinders me or you from worshiping and serving the living God and serving our fellow man. There may be some laws that we don't like. There are some that I'd like to see changed, and I'm sure so would you. But freedom provides us with an opportunity to enjoy some of the greatest blessings on this earth, and to be able to worship and serve God according to the dictates of our heart and what we believe to be the teaching in the Word of God. And so freedom in this nation provides us with many, many services, many blessings, and numerous opportunities. The freedoms that we have in Christ, if you'll review with me just a moment some of the things we talked about this morning, are also numerous. We are free in Christ from ignorance, because His Word informs us of what we need to know, and the truth shall make us free. We are free from the power of evil. We are free from the power of the devil. We are free from the penalty of sin, and we are free from the fear of death. We have freedom from all these things in Christ. And maybe in addition to emphasizing the freedoms from, we need to talk about the freedoms to. We have freedom in Christ to hope for something that is even better than what we have here. We are free in Christ to seek help from God and from Christ as our Father and as our Savior. We have freedom in Christ to live the Christian life. We have freedom in Christ to have, to experience. And I don't mean by that some mysterious way, but based upon the teaching of God's Word, to experience salvation from past sins and to have the assurance of that salvation in the eternity. Oh yes, freedom provides so very much. And we need to stop and think about that. It's not wrong for us to think about our provisions, the many wonderful things that we have. And I hope that even tomorrow, as we celebrate in that day that's been set aside, the independence and the freedom of our nation, that we'll think about some of these things. But folks, these freedoms did not come about by accident. You know, it takes us several years in life to understand that there has to be something behind all good things. As you young folks are growing up in the earlier years, you, like we, when we were back at that age, do not understand many of the gifts that you receive. You do not understand that there's a lot of effort that went in behind the scene to make it possible for all these things to be there. And it's like that with freedom. If we had some way of knowing tonight the number of people that have given their lives in order that we might be free in America, we'd have a long list. I'm sure you know of those, maybe some of them family and friends of yours who've given their lives in some of the wars and conflicts that we have had. And although the Christian attitude hates the concept of war, and we're to do everything that we can to promote peace and teach the gospel of peace, even an understanding of the Old Testament reveals to us that there have been times when there was the necessity of fighting against the evils that would stand against Christ and would stand against good. I'm not smart enough as an individual, and I think neither are you, to understand all of the implications of each specific battle and each specific war that's gone on. But I believe that we're all smart enough to understand that some of these terrible things that have happened in the name of wars in the past may have contributed to the fact that we're able to have the freedoms that we enjoy today. And so at the same time that we abhor the idea of war, we must also have room to appreciate those who have stood when they had to stand to make it possible for the birth of our country and for the maintenance of our nation. When one looks at what may be on the horizon, he's made to wonder what's ahead. Even events that have occurred this day in the Mideast cause us to stop and be just a little bit sober-minded about what may be ahead and how freedom is being taken from some people, and many others do not even have it at all in the world today, and there is the threat even to our liberty as these events unfold. It's cost a lot for us to have a nation as we have it today. And those freedoms that we enjoy in Jesus Christ did not come about accidentally either. It cost God his Son leaving heaven. It cost Christ his life on the cross. And though the lives of the Christian martyrs such as Stephen and Antipas and those who have come since that time were not on the level with the death of Jesus, though their deaths were not on the level with his, those who have given their lives as Christian martyrs have paid the cost that you and I might be where we are today. And I rather imagine that there have been many men and women down through the years who blazed the trails through Tennessee and through the South to preach the gospel, to plant congregations of the New Testament church where you and I would have the opportunities that we have today. The church here at Henderson, existing like it is tonight, did not come about accidentally. There's been a lot of work, there's been a lot of planning, there's been a lot of sacrifice in the past by many people, some of whom we do not know. But you know, as we've been looking back and trying to obtain pictures of the elders and deacons who've served in the congregation here, we've uncovered different facts, and particularly as Brother Williams and Brother Hires have been involved in looking back, and Brother Jones and others, the history of this county and this area, and particularly the history of the church, we're made aware again and again that there have been people who have really sacrificed to make it possible for you and me to have the freedoms that we enjoy today in Jesus Christ. And you know, if those in the past have given so much, you and I ought to be willing to pay whatever cost is necessary today. That cost may involve money. It may involve efforts. It may even involve our lives. Back a moment to the physical side, the physical nature of things. You and I need to be involved today in paying the cost. We talk a lot about taxes, and some of them seem to be unfair. But we ought never to really complain too much about the fact that we are to pay to enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy. In Romans 13, where we have that picture of our relationship to the civil government, we're told to tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom. In other words, support the government in such a way that it can function. As long as you and I have a government that is of the people and by the people and for the people, or for that matter, even if it were to be a government like the Roman Empire where Jesus was living and when Jesus was living, we still have the God-given responsibility to have respect and even pay to Caesar that which is Caesar's. I think many times, and I'm just like most of you, we complain too much about that which is approved of God to support our government. And maybe we complain too much about that which we ought to give of ourselves, particularly to support the cause of Christ, even being willing to give our lives if necessary. Be thou faithful unto death, not until death, but unto death, is stated in Revelation 2 and verse 10. We must be willing to pay that cost. Freedom costs. But then freedom demands. And if we're going to have the provisions of freedom, we must answer these demands. I want to suggest to you three demands of freedom, and all of these start with the letter R. Number one, freedom demands that we accept responsibilities. That's just a foregone conclusion. I wish sometimes that I were able to go back in time and stand there with some of those men like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and see firsthand what they did. I wish I were able to go back to the cross and be an eyewitness to the death of Jesus. Of course, we can't do that. But if we'll stop and think about all the responsibilities that were carried out by these men physically and by our Lord spiritually, I think we'll be better able to carry out our responsibilities in serving one another and in serving our God. One of the R's of the demands of freedom is responsibility. The second R is rights of others. We do a pretty good job sometimes talking about our own rights. And yet, as Jesus emphasized the rights of others and was willing to give up his own rights, so you and I must be willing to do that. There isn't such a thing as 100% freedom, to where we can just be free to do anything we want to, no matter how it affects anybody else. And then the other R is accepting restrictions. Restrictions placed on us by the government in the laws of the land. Restrictions placed on us by the laws of nature. You know, we're free to do with ourselves what we want to in the ultimate sense of the word, but there are certain restrictions, there are certain laws that are involved. And even when we deal with the spiritual matters, there's that perfect law of liberty that places some restrictions on us. When God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the Garden of Eden, he gave them a sense of freedom in that garden, the freedom of choice and the freedom to roam in that garden and to enjoy its blessings. But he also gave them some restrictions, one particularly. And when they failed to appreciate that restriction that was given, they lost their freedoms in that garden. Many a time, a person who has failed to appreciate the restrictions of nature and of God's word and of the laws of the land has lost his freedom. You and I fail to appreciate the restrictions of the laws of the land. We may lose our freedoms to where we are placed in jails or prisons. We lose our freedoms because we do not respect the restrictions that are there. And we lose our freedom in Christ when we fail to respect the restrictions that are given to us in his word. Freedom demands. It demands accepting responsibilities. And I would encourage more of us to be more involved in community activities, to try to promote the idea of freedom. I believe that it behooves us as Christian people not only to pay our fair taxes, but also to become involved in reasonable opportunities, to try to see that the government of this community and the atmosphere of this community and the government and the atmosphere of our nation on a larger scale is such that we can continue to enjoy these freedoms. Our grandparents did that for us. Let us do it for those that will follow in our steps. Freedom provides. We have some outstanding, some great freedoms. Thank God for them. But freedom costs. You remember the chief captain that we were studying this morning in the conversation with Paul said, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. Paul said, I was freeborn, but somebody paid for Paul's freedom. You and I today can say, I was freeborn, but somebody paid for our freedom. And in turn, we need to be paying by support and involvement in the free process of law and government to ensure and assure for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren and on down the line that they have the same provisions of freedoms in this nation and particularly the opportunity to know about the freedoms in Christ. Freedom costs. And that means that freedom demands that we accept our responsibilities, that we appreciate the rights of others, and that we are governed by the reasonable restrictions that make it possible for the free process of matters to continue in our nation and in our Savior. Are you enjoying the provisions of freedom? If you are, it's only right that you appreciate the cost and the demands. Are you enjoying the provisions of freedom that are in Christ? If you are, you've already appreciated the cost and the demands to some extent. And if you haven't appreciated that cost and those demands, you really can't enjoy the freedom in Christ. Because you see, to enjoy that true freedom in Christ, you must first of all come to believe, truly believe, Jesus paid it all. He died on the cross that I might be free and you might be free. And he has set up a system in which, yes, there are some restrictions and there are some requirements, but a system wherein we can be made free from sin and become the servants of righteousness, the servants of Christ. He has told us what he expects. And if you'd like to use the word, what he demands for us to enjoy those freedoms. Unless and until you believe, repent, confess, and are baptized for the remission of sins, you cannot be in Christ. Therefore, you cannot have those provisions of that freedom. But if you're willing to appreciate what Christ did, and realize that even your obedience doesn't pay all the cost, but it accepts Jesus on his terms, you can meet those demands or commands and be a Christian. Or if you need to come and asking for forgiveness as a child of God, you can be free. In just a moment, the song that we'll sing asks that question. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's the cost. Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood that power in that blood might purchase the way of salvation for us. Would you be free? Would you really be free? That true freedom is only in Christ. And I ask you very seriously to consider that question and answer it in your own thinking as we sing the invitation song. If you need to respond, do it in an affirmative way as together we stand and sing.
Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Be seated, please. Closing song this evening will be number 400.
Again, we want to tell you that we're thankful you're here this evening. The visitation teams 1 and 1A will meet tonight after services. 1A will meet in the educational building. We want to remind you of the wedding announcement that was made this morning. Tiffany Thomas and Jason Rantley Copeland will be married Friday, the 8th of July at 7 o'clock at 247 North Avenue. I believe that's the home of Tiffany's grandfather. All of you are invited to that. We urge all our young people to get their applications in for the Horizons program. And by the way, next Sunday evening, Lord willing, all of the young people who are in that program will be present at our evening service. We're expecting about 200 or more young people to be present with us next Sunday evening at the evening service. Christian training series dates are July the 10th through the 15th, and adults need to take into consideration that also. Dates for the area-wide gospel meeting are August 8th through 12th. There are bumper stickers available to advertise that, and July the 23rd, a Saturday, has been set aside to canvass the area, and we'll be giving you more details as that gets a little bit closer. The Lord's Supper has been left prepared for those who need to go to observe it. You may go during the closing song through the doors to either side of the platform and go to the educational building for that. Any other announcement that I've overlooked that needs to be made? Let's stand for our closing song and closing prayer.
How sweet, how heavenly is the sight when those that love the Lord in one another's peace delight and so fulfill the word. When each can feel his brother's sigh and with him bear a part. When sorrow flows from eye to eye and joy from heart. When free from envy, scorn, and pride, our wishes all above, each can his brother's failings hide and show a brother's love. Love is the golden chain that binds the happy and he an heir of heaven who finds his bosom glow with love.
Shall we pray together? Our merciful God, our Father, it's with joy that we come here tonight and worship thee. We're thankful, Father, for all occasions that we have to meet together. And truly, Father, we pray at this time that truly we can realize the privilege, the honor, and the blessing it is that we can enjoy this freedom together. Father, our hearts and our prayers go out to those who wear the uniform of this country, who find themselves in very difficult places. And especially we pray for those who wear the uniform and also are Christians, who find themselves in foreign lands and because of circumstances are forced to meet, perhaps even by the number of two and three, and strive to do those things that would please thee and in their way worship thee. We pray, Father, that all that we have done this day in this place is accordance to thy will, that we have the one purpose in mind, and that's to serve thee. that all that we do so in love. Go with us now, Father, as we leave. We might arrive at our home safely, and may we strive to live the week that stands before us, that others can see Jesus Christ in each one of us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.